Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, go ahead and grab it. Turn with me to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. We're going to read the 11th verse through the 16th verse, and we are going to stand for the reading of the Word. So if you would go ahead and join me for that. And you may wonder, why do we do that? Because we don't do it on Sundays for show. We do it because we respect the Word of God. And I'm not saying you have to do it in your house every time you read the Word of God, but it is something that I feel like the Lord has put on my heart for me to do. I'm not saying anyone that ever reads Scripture from this pulpit would have to ask people to stand, but this is something that I feel like the Lord has put on my life to encourage me to do in this house. And so Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, because we are going through the growth chart series on Sunday mornings, and this has been our text that we've been looking at. We're going to look at it more tonight as we begin to study out the fivefold ministry. It says in verse 11, Paul speaking, and he says, of Jesus, he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now here's the reason why he gave them. He gave them for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I want to stop right there very quickly and say there are some people that say that certain offices are extinct. They no longer operate. They're no longer present on the earth. In fact, I read a commentary today about the apostle, which is this office that we're going to be studying, and there was this person, he was very clearly and adamant, stating that there are no more apostles and there are no more prophets, because he says, and certain people subscribe to the idea that there's no longer a need for that, because they were just needed for the foundation of the church, and now the church is furthered by the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher. But what this says right here in this passage is he gave them until we all come to the knowledge of the unity till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Now, last time I checked, everybody hadn't come to that place yet. And no one, actually, when I say no one, there will never be a moment where everyone comes to that place. So there will always be a need for the fivefold, all five of them to be in action, okay? So he says in verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So he's showing us that the fivefold ministers that equip us for the working of the ministry, they don't just equip us, they don't just make us ready, but they also safeguard us from being deceived by poor doctrine or cunning, crafty people that would try to sneak in, as Jude talks about, and turn the grace of God into lewdness. And so it's important that we have this active in the church. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined in it together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Father, we thank you humbly for your word tonight. Lord, it's such a gift that we have that so often we take for granted, or we just simply don't say thank you enough. But I thank you that you gave us this book and you gave us this word and you inspired men to put pen to paper and to write what the Spirit of God was breathing on and speaking in their hearts. And because of it, we have inspiration and guidance and clarity for our life today, some thousands of years later. And that in and of itself is a miracle. And so we say thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going through the growth chart series on Sunday morning. So is Scottsboro, so is the Well in Huntsville. And as we've been going through this, we've been using this text of Scripture, and the Lord placed it upon my heart as I was studying last week to begin breaking down and in better depth under helping you understand the fivefold. Now, I'm sure you've heard about the fivefold, and in fact, the Bible doesn't actually use the terminology fivefold. That's something, that's a catchphrase that we have coined. But when you hear the terminology, the fivefold, it's talking about the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher, because these are important things, because as I said Sunday morning, and I'm going to say it again, if God gave it, we need it, okay? And so we need these offices to be at work, not just in the church, church, but we need these type of people speaking into our lives. And maybe you've heard this before, and I'm going to go through this very quickly, but there's five fingers on your hand, right? And I was always taught the best way to remember the apostle, the prophet, and the evangelist, and the pastor, teacher is this, is the apostle, the thumb represents the apostle, and that's because he touches them all. In fact, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says this. He says that God gave first the apostles, and second the prophets, and third teachers. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says that the church is founded on the apostles and the prophets. So the apostle, it's not that he's better than anyone else, but he does have a different function, a different role, and he provides oversight. And he can touch all of them. He can operate in all of them. Then you've got the prophet. And the reason the prophet is the pointer finger is because he points things out, and he shows things, and he will reveal to you what God is saying, whether it's wrong, whether it's good, but he'll point it out in your life. The next is the evangelist, and he sticks out farther than anybody else. At least he does on my hand. And he sticks out further because he equips the church to reach out of this body and connect with people that are not yet saved to get them to hear the gospel message so that they can in turn be saved. Then you have the pastor, and he's the ring finger. Why? Because he's married to the church. He's the shepherd. He's warding off the wolves in sheep's clothing. He's protecting the flock. He's caring for the flock. That's why the pastor marries you and buries you, because he's there to care for you and be intimately involved in your life. And then you have the teacher, and the reason he's the pinky is he gets in the ear, and he teaches you the things that you need to hear so that you can properly walk in the life that God has for you. Okay, so that's the fivefold. But I want to point out something as we break down this passage of scripture rather. Paul says in verse 11, he himself, obviously speaking of God, gave some to be apostles. Let's stop right there. He gave how many? He gave some. This is important that we understand. There's some people that think that anybody can be an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist. No, he gave some. That means he specifically picked a certain people to fit this role and to fit this office. Everybody's not an apostle. Everybody's not a prophet. Everybody's not an evangelist. Everybody's not a pastor. Everybody's not a teacher. Now listen, but everyone is called to minister. Because that's why he gave some to be these things, so that he could equip the saints, because we're all saints. And even apostles are saints. Even prophets are saints. But not everybody's an apostle, and not everybody's a prophet. He gave some, a select people. And let me break this down for you, because could you imagine a company full of CEOs? Nothing would ever get done. Right? Everybody be walking around telling everybody else what to do. I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. And he said, well, that's funny, because I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. If everybody's the boss, nobody's the boss, right? And so if God did not set it up in order in the church where there was some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, all these fivefold, then it'd be like a company full of CEOs, or it would be like a school full of janitors, right? Who would do the teaching? Who would equip the children with the knowledge necessary for math and for science and for reading and for, you know, who would coach the sports team if everybody was a janitor, right? There is a specific role in each of those things. Could you imagine, we love football, right? I love football. Could you imagine a football team full of offensive linemen? Who'd run the ball? Who'd throw the ball, right? Who would go out for a pass, right? Like, they can't do that because their body is specifically built for protecting the quarterback and blocking for the run, right? So in the same way, that's why everybody isn't just an apostle or a prophet or a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist or whatever. It's that God has given some because it needs to be order, okay? Each position in a business, in a school, in a team, or in a government is important. And those who are not called to the fivefold, these commissioned positions in the kingdom, they're still called. They're just not called to this specific responsibility. How do I know that? Because many are called, but few are chosen. Okay? I believe that you have a calling on your life. Even if you're not one of these five offices that God has prescribed for the church, you still have a call in your life. You're just not called to this. Somebody has got to do the thing that the fivefold is equipping those people to do, right? So it doesn't make anybody better. It doesn't make anybody worse. It doesn't make anybody higher. It doesn't make anybody lower. It is what we must, what we have to do is we must accept our position and work together to advance the kingdom of God. You're an apostle. I submit to the fact that you're an apostle or that you're a prophet or that you're a pastor or that you're a teacher. And if I am a, you know, a nursery worker, I'm going to give myself to that, because the apostle can't be changing diapers in the nursery, y'all. But the person that's in the nursery can love that baby and take care of that baby and protect that baby. Every part does it share. And what does that do? It causes growth of the body, according to Ephesians chapter 4. We're called to be saints, but not everyone is an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. And let me say this as well. When I talk about this, I want you to understand, this is not dictatorial, okay? What I mean by that is it's not a dictatorship, that the five people that are in these offices just get to make everybody do whatever they want to do, okay? What it is, though, is it's kingdom order, okay? And there must be kingdom order. In fact, God's kingdom is a kingdom of order. Because if you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, after Paul has told them all about the moving of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, how they should operate in the church, the very last thing he says is, let everything be done decently and in order. Why? Because he also says in that passage, God is not an author of confusion, but of peace. So if confusion is present, then God did not author that situation, because he does not author anything that is confusing. And that's why he decided we need the fivefold minister to equip these people, because if we don't have this kingdom order, we don't have this structure in the church, then it's going to be mass chaos. How many of you have been told before, anything with more than one head is a monster, right? We've all heard that before. Now, that's not exactly true, because I believe that in a church, people always use that as a power trip in church, you know. Anything with more than one head's a monster. Well, Christ is the head of the church, okay? So he's the only head that we've got. I'm not the head of this church. Pastor Greg's not the head of this church. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. And then we have fivefold pastors and leaders and people on staff that work in kingdom order and function to help operate the church so that it can be everything that God wants it to be. So he set people in order to establish order, okay? Now, another thing I want you to realize and see, and a lot of people don't understand this, is that these five offices are not personality types. They're kingdom positions, okay? And some people are mean and they say, well, I'm a prophet. No, you're just mean and you need to learn to shut up, right? And some people are, they're just, you know, demanding and what's the domineering? And they go, well, I'm an apostle. I just tell people what to do. No, you're domineering and you mean, right? You need to learn how to control yourself. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And you can't just decide because I have personality traits that mirror what this is that all of a sudden I'm one of these positions. And that's somewhere where we failed in the church is because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. We have seen things in people and decided, well, you must be a prophet. You must be a teacher. You must be an evangelist. You must be this. But this is something that must come from God. It doesn't come from you deciding, I want to be a prophet. I want to be an evangelist. I want to be a teacher. Okay? And that brings us to the apostle, because one of the responsibilities of the apostle is to establish order, because we were talking about he set people in order to establish order, and that is one of the responsibilities of the apostle. And there is a reason that the apostle and the prophet are listed first, because if you back up to Ephesians 2, 19 through 21, I referenced this earlier, but now I want to read it to you. You can, if you would like to, go there with me in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read those last few verses, 19 through 21. Paul says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the house of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together grows into a temple, holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, if I listed to you these five offices, and said, which one of them works closest, and you, which one would you most associate with the church? 9 out of 10 people would say the pastor, right? They would say the pastor goes with the church. That is to a certain extent true. But the word of God says that the church is established and it's built upon the apostles and the prophets. Now, what happens is, and I'm going to show you this further, is apostles and prophets, they are used to found the church, and then the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher further the work of the church. Okay, so we'll see this in the life of Paul. We'll talk about it later. But we would think that if someone goes and plants a church, that's a pastoral act. No, that's an apostolic act. Okay, and then it's the pastor, the evangelist is necessary, because if we don't win souls, eventually the church is going to die off, right? And eventually we're not going to make a difference in the kingdom of God. So we need the evangelist to equip people to do the Great Commission, to go out into the world and win people for Jesus Christ. We need the pastor to comfort them and to be there for them and to shepherd them and to help them through dark seasons of their life and to encourage them in the Lord. And we need the teacher to instruct in righteousness. The doctrine that the apostle sets in order, the teacher then teaches to the people of God so that they know how to live righteously in Christ Jesus. So according to the word of God, the church is established by the apostles and the prophets, and I believe that it's further and it's progressed by the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. But we need all five to be in working order in order to be effective. Now, nowhere does it say that someone can only be one of these things, okay? And that's another area where I think that we need to grow and understand, is that some people think, well, I can only be an apostle, or I can only be a teacher, I can only be, but it says he gave some to be these things. He didn't say he gave some exclusively to be these things, okay? So I have sat under the ministry of people that operated in multiple offices. They're apostolic and they're pastoral. They're an evangelist and they're a teacher. They're prophetic and they're apostolic. I've seen it take place. And usually, and I'm not saying this is a rule because this is not in the Word of God, but usually it's two. Usually it's not more than two, okay? Now, I'm not saying it can't be, and I'm not saying that it can't only be one, but I've seen people operate in more than one office before in their life. And sometimes it's a season thing. In one season, somebody's an evangelist. In another season, they're a pastor. I'll use my dad because I know him better than I know anybody else in ministry. For many years, he was an evangelist and a prophet. Now, he's more an apostle and a pastor than anything else. And he's still, actually, I would say he's more an apostle and a prophet, but he holds the role of a pastor as well. And so I've seen this take place in my life, but the question would next be this: how does one receive such a call? How do I know if I'm one of these things, right? How do I know if God is placing it on my heart to be an apostle or a pastor or a leader? Or how do I know if someone actually is who they say they are? Because listen, be careful, everybody that comes around saying, I'm apostle so-and-so and I'm prophet so-and-so. In fact, usually when people announce themselves with their own title, that's usually just my first indication to turn around and run. Like, it was nice meeting you. You have a good day, and don't ever call me, right? But Paul said this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ, the God and Father who raised him from the dead. You see, Paul had to, we know this from the writings of Paul, that there was some amount of struggle to fit in with the church. You know why? Because he'd spent a lot of time persecuting them. And he was wondering, will they accept me? Will they not accept me? But somewhere he came to the point when he began to talk to the Corinthians, he said, am I not an apostle? Am I not able to speak to you and to father you and to look after you? Am I not like Peter? Am I not like these other guys? And he realized, I am an apostle, but it didn't come from man. It didn't come through man. It came from Jesus Christ, from God the Father, putting his hand on him, showing up to him on the road to Damascus and telling the prophet Ananias to go to him because he had a special call of God on his life. And so the call of God for the office doesn't come because you read this scripture and you go, man, it'd be cool to be a teacher, right? Man, it'd be cool to be a pastor. No, God puts his hand on somebody and says, I have anointed this person. It's not from man. It's not through man. In fact, it doesn't even come by you saying, will you pray for me to become so-and-so or such-and-such? Because Paul said it didn't come from man. It didn't come through man. So if I have an apostolic call or if I have a pastoral call and you want that, I can't pray for you and transfer that from me to you. Okay? There's a difference in a mantle and an office. Okay? When Elijah left Elisha, he left him a mantle. But we're talking about an office that can only come from God. It doesn't come from man, and it doesn't come through man. It only comes from God. So the call of an apostle is not from man. It's not through man. It's given by God. So I can't decide, you know what? I'm an apostle. Why? Because I want to plant churches, and I want to establish order. Paul didn't choose to be an apostle. God chose Paul to be an apostle. In fact, you can see that in Paul's journey to Damascus. Where do we find Paul going, hey, God, can you show up and show me that you're real? No, the heavens open, and he knocked him off of his donkey and showed him that he was real, right? So you can't just decide that. Now, let's define what an apostle is. The word apostle in the Greek is the Greek word apostolos, and it means messenger. It also means he that is sent or he that is commissioned. Now, the first apostles were the 12 disciples. Those are the first ones that were ever, in fact, that's the first time that we find the word apostle in the scripture is in the book of Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. Turn with me there to the book of Matthew because it's interesting, and we're going to break this down a little bit more. Where does the terminology apostle come from? It's not something that was made up. It was something that was actually adopted, and you've probably heard that before. If you've heard any kind of teaching on the apostle, is that it was actually a military word or a governmental word that was used to describe people, and I'm going to break down what that was here in a minute. But let's look at this time where Jesus had called, and again, remember, the 12 were called, right? Jesus went and picked them out one by one. I want Matthew, right? I want John. I want James. I want Peter. He called them and he invited them to follow him. Everybody that followed Jesus in the multitude wasn't an apostle, but these 12 were because Jesus called them because it doesn't come by choice of man. It comes by choice of God, okay? So Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples over to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. First Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, that's how we better know him, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, now I'm not going to go into everything that he said. You can go read that later. But he gave them, we already found out and understood what he tells them to do. He gave them power to do, power over unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal the sick, and all of these things. But it's interesting because it says in this first time that these were called the 12 apostles here. And then it says in verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out. That word sent out is the Greek word apostello. So the Greek word for apostle is apostolos. The Greek word for sent out is apostello, because they basically have the same meaning, to send out. And that's what made them apostles, is when Jesus commissioned them to go out and to walk in authority over darkness and over the enemy and over everything that came against people, that commissioned them to become apostles. The Greek word apostolos was a common one in their dictation, and it was actually borrowed from secular society. The word has multiple uses, and the reason that this word was chosen as one of the offices that God would give to us in Ephesians chapter 4 is, and for the kingdom, is because this office was so well described by the earthly use of the word that people could look at it and go, oh, that's what an apostle does in the world. This is what the apostle does in the kingdom, so that they could draw a line and they could distinguish and realize that is the call. Because when we hear apostle, all we know is apostle. Yeah, that's part of the fivefold. But what does an apostle really do? In their culture, when you said someone is an apostle, you knew immediately. It would be like me telling you he's an ambassador to France. You're like, oh, I know what an ambassador does, right? So that, and actually ambassador is one of the definitions of apostle. And that's why they chose that word to use to describe what God was calling people to do, in with certain people to do. So here's the one of the earlier uses of the word apostle was used for a position of an admiral on a fleet of ships, okay? And this fleet was sent out by their government to discover territories that had not yet been colonized and had not yet been developed. So they would load up these ships with tons of supplies and with people and with everything that they needed to start a colony. And the apostle of the ship would sail. And as they looked and found somewhere that had not yet been developed, they would come on the land and they would claim it as territory for their kingdom that they were an apostle for. And they would begin to clear the land and they would begin to set up buildings and they would begin to set up structure and they would begin to set up order and they would make sure that that ground was taken and claimed and established as the same kind of kingdom that they'd came from. And then you know what they would do once it got established? They'd leave and go do it again. They would get back on the same ships because now that the town was established and it was orderly, they could take the supplies they needed from there to go to the next location and do the exact same thing. That's what an apostle did. And that's what the word of as the Holy Spirit inspired men to write the word of God, that they chose that word because it was that person that had the authority to go somewhere that no one else had ever been and do something that no one else had ever done and set up order and structure, planting a community. And that's what we do when we plant churches, is we plant community. That's, in fact, we have that saying, we want to plant a community in a community to help transform a community. What are we doing? We're doing an apostolic work. We're establishing an order and a function of the house of God and what it's supposed to look like and feel like and be like, so that when people come into it, they're influenced and they realize this is the kingdom of God. So if they've encountered the kingdom somewhere else, they walk in and they might not have ever been here before, but the spirit begets spirit and they go, this is kingdom. Or maybe they're not aware of it at all and they go, what is it that's different about this place? And we can say, it's the kingdom of God. It's the presence of God because it has been established and there is order here. Okay, so the apostle was tasked with establishing new culture, new life, and new community. And once that new culture, new life, and new community was established, he would then get back in the ships and go do it again. So that is why the church is established by the apostles and the prophets, by the word from God and by the order and establishment of the apostle to carry it out. So one of the apostles' responsibilities is to plant churches. And we see this in the life of Paul. Actually, scholars tell us that Paul planted at least 14 churches. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot to us because we live in a day and age where people have 28 satellite churches, right? But let me remind you, he had no cell phone. He had no internet. He traveled everywhere by ship or by, you know, donkey or by foot. And it took a long time to get places. It took a lot of resources. It took a lot of energy. And he planted 14 churches. Now, he stayed in Corinth, we know through scripture, for 18 months. Why? Because it took that long to establish order in that place. And once order was established, he left, and guess what? Everything got messed up, so he had to write back to him and say, y'all are doing it all wrong, okay? Because another part of the apostle's role is not just to establish order, but to keep the order. And that's why Paul would write back to people. And he would write more letters and say, you're doing it wrong. And in fact, did you know that Paul addressed every letter that he had? I talked about this Sunday morning. He addressed every letter with grace and peace to you, right? Do you know what Paul also wrote in every letter, save one, was Paul an apostle? Every single letter except for his letter to Philippi, he told them he was an apostle. That wasn't a power trip. That was to show them, I'm speaking to you from under the authority of God, and God has given me authority to establish order in your church so that you know how it ought to be done. So he told them, I'm an apostle. I'm not bragging about it, but you need to understand it's to bring order. The only church that he didn't was Philippi. Why he didn't to Philippi, I don't know, other than the fact that when I read the letter of Philippians, there's little to no correction in it. It's really just a letter of thanks, saying, hey, thanks for sending me a check. That's really what Philippians is. Go read it. He literally said, hey, thanks for the money. I appreciate you. Hey, keep doing what you're doing, guys. That's all it is. Go read it. Go read it from start to finish. That's what Philippians is. And so he wasn't as much establishing order or correcting anything as he was just writing a thank you note, okay? But every other letter he ever wrote, he said, I'm an apostle. So, all right. He spent 18 months in Corinth. He stayed in Ephesus for 2 years and 3 months. And he stayed around 3 months in Thessalonica and Philippi. Why? Because when he went and he planted the church, he stayed until order was established and then he left. And then he'd put people like Timothy in Ephesus, or he'd put people like Titus in Crete, and he would write to them and say, this is how things need to be done, because that's the work of an apostle, is to establish and to maintain the order of the church. So Paul remained an overseer and returned to certain places and wrote letters to make sure that they stayed true to the gospel and grew strong in the Lord. Okay, so that's one of the roles of the apostle. And that's why they adopted that name from that admiral of that fleet of ships to say he's an apostle, is he goes and he sets up order. Okay, another terminology for apostle that they would use is they would actually call what we now call a passport or traveling papers, they would call that their apostle. They would say, I have my apostle, that is my traveling letters. Because of the title, the word became synonymous with travel and travel documents, because the word apostle means to be sent out or to go. And so they would say, I have my order to go. I have my apostle. This gives me the authority. So passport or travel documents grant you access to places you can't go without one, okay? Think about it. Try to get on a plane without a passport these days, right? Or without that little blue star or whatever on your license. I don't know. But try to go across the Canadian border without a passport. You used to could do it. You can't do it anymore. But try to fly to Australia without a passport. Guess who's not getting in Australia? The person who ain't got a passport, right? And so in the church, the apostle issues spiritual passports. Here's what I mean by that. When you sit under the teaching of an apostle, they give you access to deeper spiritual truths that you couldn't access on your own. They open up new lands to you, new levels to you, new places that you've never been. You ever heard someone teach and you're like, because the apostle also teaches. There is the office of the teacher, but the apostle, one of his responsibilities is also to teach. And as they teach, you realize, I am going further in God than I've ever been before. I'm realizing and learning things. I'm going deeper and I'm learning more. It's because in the apostolic teaching, and that's what Paul would do. When he would write to churches, he would bring transportation from ignorance to knowledge. It would open people's eyes, and even the eyes of our understanding are still enlightened and opened when we read the letters of Paul. Why? Because under apostolic unction, he was writing things to give us a passport into places in the Spirit that we couldn't go on our own, that we could have never figured it out. We could have never dreamt this up, but because someone with apostolic authority and unction and anointing in office wrote to us about it, we can go, wow, I'm realizing something about life or about the kingdom that I've never known before. So he did this in his 13 epistles. Peter did this in his epistles. You know, Peter actually, he's the only other person in the New Testament that when he wrote a letter, he said an apostle. He identified himself as an apostle. And they opened the spiritual eyes of the recipients of their letters to deeper spiritual truth. So it was the admiral of a fleet of ships that would go and establish new community, new culture, and new life. It was also a way of travel, a means of passport. And another thing was, it was the original ambassador. An ambassador represents his government to another government. And so, in fact, one of the definitions of the word apostle is someone who is sent to do business on behalf of him who sent him. And an apostle, when they would send an apostle out, because not only would they send apostles out to begin new communities, but they would also go to send apostles to communities that they had just defeated in battle, and they wanted to make a regime change, a culture change, to make that place resemble where they were from. So they would say, we beat this city, we've taken it, it's ours now, send in an apostle so that he can teach him how to look like us, talk like us, act like us, and he has all authority of the king wherever he is. Whatever he decides, that's the law. However he wants it to be, that's what it's going to be, because he has the authority to do that. So he held and operated in authority and power that had been vested to him by his superior authority. In the same way, apostles have authority from God to make decisions that affect and shape the church. That's why Paul could write to churches and tell them, you're doing it wrong, you need to do it this way. Because he had authority from God to make shifts and changes, or to say, you need to get this person out of the church. You may need to make this leadership change. You need to establish this. These are the qualifications of a bishop. These are the qualifications of a deacon. So he was able to do that. And the reason I keep using Paul is he gave us so many great examples of what an apostle actually was. By what he did, that's what an apostle did. And so in a church without an apostle is a church in trouble. Because they don't have that authority that God has placed and given. And you may say, well, can't God just tell them? Yeah, he tells them by way of the apostle. That's how he chooses to do it. And that's how he set it up. So there are also territorial apostles. There are apostles that are over certain areas, certain regions, men that God has allowed to walk in authority and the ability to shift the temperature of a region or to shape a culture within a specific time or place. So they come as an ambassador, as a messenger, as a delegate from heaven to invade earth, the impression of heaven. Now, I'm going to begin to wrap up. And I'm trying to go slow, but I'm so excited about this kind of stuff, I just start talking fast. So you'll have to excuse me. But an apostle is basically this. It's a chosen vessel of the Lord to represent him to the world, to represent him to the kingdom of God. And if you look at Paul, that's what he did. He represented God wherever he went. That's why he could say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Why? Because I'm a representation of God. I'm not God. I'm not trying to put Paul in the place of God, but God chose to use him as a representation, as an ambassador for him to operate in his authority, and he still does that in men today, okay? All right, so why do you need the office of the apostle? I want to give you five reasons. You ready? Number one, I said this Sunday, but I'm going to say it again because it's true. God gave it, so to resist it would be to resist God. If God gave some to be apostles and some prophets, if we reject any of the fivefold, as some people do, in essence, we are rejecting God because we're saying, I don't want what you give. I think that my way is better than your way. I don't want what you are giving. I don't want anybody to bring order in my life. I have my own version of order in my life. I don't need somebody to tell me how to live or what to do. And in reality, we all do. We all need this authority because that's why God gave it. If we believe that God is truly all-knowing and all-powerful, then we just need to trust. If he said we need apostles in our life, we need apostles in our life. Okay? So number one reason is God gave it. So to resist the apostle is to resist God. Number two reason is because you need spiritual authority that can and will speak as a representative of God to bring deeper spiritual truths to you that enable you to travel deeper in your walk with God. I know that's a long one if you're taking notes, but if you want to take a picture of it afterwards, you can, because I ain't going to say it again. No, because you need spiritual authority in your life that can and will speak as a representative of God to bring deeper spiritual truths to you, enabling you to travel deeper in your walk with God. That's why we need the apostle in our life, because that's what he did, okay? Number three, because the apostle watches over the church to ensure proper doctrine and order. And the best scriptural example I can give you of this is 1 Timothy. Go read 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy is Paul being an apostle to a pastor. Timothy is a young pastor. He's pastoring Ephesus. In fact, it is, as some people have said, I don't know if this is true or not, some scholars say Timothy was pastoring close to 100,000 people in Ephesus. I don't know if that's right or if it's wrong, but that's what I've heard before. But we do know without a doubt it was a very large church and there were a lot of things that needed to be fixed. And Paul continued to say, preach sound doctrine, preach sound doctrine, preach sound doctrine, establish this kind of leader. Because what he was doing as an apostle was he was showing Timothy, he wasn't using Timothy like a puppet, he was just operating in the kingdom order that God already aligned and said the church is established on the apostles and the prophets. So I'm going to tell you how to establish it, but you run with it, man. You take it. You love those people. You care for those people. You teach those people. But I'm going to show you as a representative of God how it needs to be set up and how it needs to be in order. So he watches over the church to ensure proper doctrine and order. Number four, the fourth reason you need an apostle is so that you can become equipped as a minister of the kingdom. And this is going to be true for all of them because that's why God gave all five offices. It's for the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry. If you want to be more effective on your job at ministering, what is ministry? Ministry, number one, means simply to serve. In the Greek or in the Hebrew, minister means to serve. So in other words, you're not getting around it, right? Like, oh, in the Greek it means to serve. What does it mean in the Hebrew? Maybe it means something different. No, I don't. It means to serve. If you want to minister, you got to serve, okay? And that's true for all of us. That's true for the apostle. That's true for the prophet. That's true for the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Every person needs to serve. Who are we serving? Number one, we're serving God. And then number two, we're serving others, right? And so if you want to be equipped to do the ministry, to serve people, to be effective in reaching people, whether you're going to, you know, you're seeing them on your job or you're seeing them in your neighborhood, you need the apostle to equip you for the working of that ministry, as you do all the other four as well, okay? Number five, the fifth reason you need the apostle in your life is apostles operate in signs and wonders. In fact, if you ever wondered, where do miracle workers fall in the fivefold? I'm sure all of them can work miracles because really it's God using any vessel to perform a miracle. In fact, God can use anybody to perform a miracle. It doesn't have to be one of the fivefold. But according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, as we turn there, and I promise I'm almost done. Thank you guys for your tentativeness tonight. 2 Corinthians 12, 12. This is what Paul said. Actually, let's start reading in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 12. Now, this is right after Paul has boasted about his weakness. And he's told them that he pleaded with God that this thorn in the flesh might depart from him. And God said to him, my grace is sufficient. Three times, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So he says, I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then he said something interesting. He said, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches and needs and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Listen to verse 11. I've become a fool in boasting. You've compelled me. Basically saying, you guys made me act like a fool. He's putting the blame back on them. Not really. But he said, I've become a fool for boasting. You compelled me. You made me do it. For I ought to have been commended by you. For nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. Listen. Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. For what is that in which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. What he's saying is basically this. I came and did the work of an apostle, which was signs, wonders, and miracles, and I didn't take a penny for it. And so he's showing us that the apostle, he said the signs of an apostle. So one reason we need the apostle is the apostle operates in signs, wonders, and miracles. How many of you guys have found yourself in need before of a sign, a wonder, or a miracle? I know that I have, right? And so the apostle has certain specific signs. The signs of the apostle that he walks in is that he would carry that miraculous gift from God as an ambassador, as a representative of heaven, because in heaven, how much sickness is there? None. In heaven, how much sorrow is there? None. And so if he's an ambassador of heaven, he has the authority to make earth look like heaven. And so therefore, he can operate in signs, wonders, and miracles. Not that he can turn it on and off like a faucet, but God will use him as a conduit to be able to lay hands on people and see the sick recover, or to see a wonder take place that we could never possibly imagine. So hopefully tonight you're understanding what an apostle is, and why we need the apostle in our life, and that it's important, it's still real, he's still working today. Why? Because we have not come to the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus, and we will not until one day we stand before him and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Only then will we no longer have the need of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, because then we'll be with God, and we won't have need of that representation that he's given us here on the earth. Amen? Stand to your feet with me tonight. I hope that you enjoyed the fellowship time as I did earlier. I told Madison earlier, I always feel bad. We got such a big family. We can't take up a whole table. We can't even talk to people while we're eating. And we just got one more on the way, so y'all just going to have to excuse us. We're going to take we'll be needing two tables by next year. Who knows? I don't know. But that's just with the one that's coming. That's no promise of anything more. I mean, things are in God's hands, but me and God have a deal worked out right now. Five-card stud. We're done. So anyways, let me pray for you tonight. Father, I ask that you would continue to reveal to us more and more about your word and about your kingdom and about order. God, we want this to be a house of order. And so I ask that you would establish, as you said that you would by the apostle and by the prophet, the working of the church for the betterment of this community and for the growth of the saints that are represented here. Lord, I pray for every single person that's here as they have confessed and believe in their heart unto salvation, the fact that Jesus is in fact the Christ and that you operate in power and in authority. I pray that they have been better equipped tonight for the working of the ministry, that as they know there is apostolic order in this house and in this church, they are now better equipped and have the authority that they need to walk into situations and to be a representative of Christ themselves, to be light in the midst of darkness. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to honor our fivefold ministers and to love them and to pray for them. But God, I also pray for the saints to do the work that you've called us to do in the ministry, that we would serve and that we would love. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us a deeper understanding of who you are and what you're doing, that we would be able to submit to you at all times and realize that you are truly in control. We surrender ourselves to you. I pray a blessing over every person as they travel home tonight, safety and provision where there's need of provision, healing where there's need of healing, comfort where there's need of comfort, joy where there's need of joy, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Love you guys. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. Go with God. We love you. Amen.